Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe with you on this Friday. Hope you're having an awesome day so far. Let's say hello to our man John McClain from Houston, who joins us usually on Wednesdays, but moving around this week. He had some duties to tend to. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So I want to start with Bobby Slowick officially did his virtual interview with the Tennessee Titans for their head coaching job. Last night we got word on that as they get ready for divisional round weekend in the playoffs. But if Slowick is offered the job to come to Tennessee, do you think he would take it and become the Titans' next head coach?
I have no idea, because everybody wants to talk to him, just about everybody. And he has a background with Rand Cawthorn, of course. He also has 6 years with Adam Peters, the new GM from Washington. And Washington is where Bobby started his NFL coaching career under Mike Shanahan, and where he became really good friends with Kyle Shanahan. And Bobby, like DeMeco Ryans, went to be part of Kyle Shanahan's first staff with the 49ers in 2017. And people here are already making plans to lose him. And I go back to what DeMeco Ryans, Ben Johnson, the Lions, Kevin O'Connell for the Vikings. They all had interviews and decided they needed a second year as a coordinator to get more experience. So Slowick has been an offensive coordinator 1 year. He's been a play caller for only 1 year. And when he's the head coach, he's going to want to be the play caller, because all offensive coaches want to call plays. Some just give it up after a while. But some, like Kyle Shanahan, they keep it. His dad, Mike Shanahan, gave it up to Gary Kubiak. So you don't know. And so we asked DeMeco Ryans what advice he would give Slowick, and he said, just make sure you take advantage of your best opportunity. Now, the feeling is here, if he comes back, because of C.J. Stroud, because the team is good, should be better next year, that he'll still have opportunities. But I think the quarterback would be important to him. He'd be a great guy for Will Levis to work with. Washington's got a chance to get one of the top prospects up there. And the thing is, Slowick runs the offense. He calls the plays. He oversees the game plan, but he doesn't coach the quarterback. He goes over things with the quarterback, but there, it's really remarkable that you have here first-year head coach, first-year play caller, first-year quarterback, and a first-year quarterback coach. And it's all worked out so well. I thought early on, they need to get somebody in here with experience. They talked about Gary Kubiak coming in, but he wasn't interested to be oversee everything. They talked to Cliff Kingsbury at one point. He wasn't interested, but it's worked out great. And they've done a tremendous job of coaching him. But if I am the Titans and I have a quarterback like Will Levis, who has so much talent and potential, I want a guy that's proven, and Slowick is that. And usually when you have a head coach with a defensive background and you fire him, you go in the other direction and you go for offense. So I'll bet you the Titans are going to hire an offensive coach, and they want one, I would imagine, who's coming off a really good season, not a guy like, say, Brian Johnson at Philadelphia, who's coming off such a disappointing season. Like Dan Quinn at Dallas, he's picked a bad time to try to become a head coach for these interviews, because how does he explain that incredibly bad performance the Cowboys had against the Packers? So anyway, it's so important. And I think Rand Cawthorn's familiarity with Slowick would help him. I think having Will Levis to work with would help him. But you need to know, they got to find out. And I'm sure Rand Cawthorn did. Did you like Will Levis last year? How did you have him rated? Because he's not going to go somewhere if he says, well, we had Will Levis rated third, or we thought he was going to be a first-round pick, or you know what? We thought Will Levis should be a third or fourth-round pick, something like that. So you don't want a coach who doesn't like the quarterback you have. And I have no idea what Sloak thinks about Will Levis, but considering everybody was high on him coming out of Kentucky, I'm assuming he likes it.
John McClain is with us, and you know, you're well connected in the league. You obviously observe things, and you know this franchise very, very well. With what you saw Houston go through the last few years, they finally seem to have it right with their leadership and obviously their head coach. When you view the Titans right now, is this a good job? Is this an attractive job?
If you go back to 2019, Mike Vrabel's second season, and they won at New England in the wild card round, and they won at Baltimore in the divisional round and reached the AFC Championship game. Everybody thought they turned around the franchise and they were going to compete for Super Bowls, and then for different reasons it didn't work out, and they made the playoffs, but they didn't compete for didn't get to the Super Bowl. So I think the fact that Amy fired John Robinson during the season, people have their antennas up for that, and they're going to want to know why. Didn't affect Rand Cawthorn. He took the job. He had opportunities. D'Amico Ryan told me that when I asked him about Cawthorn, he said it wasn't a matter of if he was going to get a job. It was a matter of when and where he wanted to go. So it didn't keep him from that. And Vrabel, people are still surprised that Mike Vrabel got fired, because Mike is a good coach. He's getting interviewed by just about everybody. So that's something that Rand Cawthorn is going to have a good answer for. Why did you fire Mike Vrabel, who is considered around the league to be a hell of a coach? And you got to have a good answer, because they don't want, well, I don't want that to happen to me if I have a bad season or two after I've been competing for the playoffs, even though we didn't get there. And, of course, it's going to cost a lot of money. Price of doing business just keeps going up for head coaches. And I'm partial, of course, because I love Nashville. It's a great city, great area, no state income tax. You know, Mike Vrabel didn't want to leave. Mike wanted to still be there. He and his wife love the city. So that's attractive. The new stadium has got to be attractive. And the facility, what they've done up there is attractive. So there's nothing to keep them from, like, getting free agents and stuff. But they do have some tough personnel decisions to make, and they may go backward before they go forward, and they got to understand that.
John, this we're talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. It might not be a fair question because you don't have the boots on the ground here in Nashville, but you know everything. How much, in your opinion, is Amy Adams like her father?
I don't see Amy being anything like her dad, and I think she's kind of the antithesis of her dad. When I talk to those former Oiler players who I see around here a lot, they love Amy Adams Strunk. And nobody ever told me they love Bud Adams. And she has treated them great and treated them in a first class manner, and they like that. And there's things she's done for them behind the scenes people don't even know about. And I assume the former Titans feel the same way. I don't know, because I'm not close to them like I am a lot of the Oilers. And I don't think money's been a big issue. I haven't heard on or off the record, well, oh God, we can't get Amy to do this. Well, there were almost always issues with Bud when it came to money. Warren Moon said one time publicly, after he had held out and signed a contract, sometimes Bud puts you through so much trying to get your deal that it's almost not like it's in, you cannot celebrate it because of what you went through. And so a lot of that had to do with Bud being the owner for so long. He was really unpopular for a while because they were terrible, and they changed coaches like every other year. And then when Bob Phillips came in and they got good, it took a lot of the heat off Bud. And, of course, when Bud started talking to Jacksonville in 87, got the Astrodome expanded, a lot of people were mad about that. But, you know, Amy down here, because the Titans are the enemy and because of the uniforms, this rivalry is finally starting to heat up. But what you need is like the Rangers and Astros. They're good at the same time, and they're competing for the same thing, a division title, the World Series. So at some point, hopefully, the Texans and Titans will both be good at playing for the playoffs like they did with Indianapolis, and that will take this rivalry to a new level.
John, there are seven openings right now in the National Football League, and what does that say if the Titans are the last one to hire a head coach?
You mean if they're the last team to hire a head
coach? Yes,
sir.
Yes.
Well, they might be, and if you do it, you better hope that you get it right. The problem is not getting a head coach. You can always get a head coach if you pay them enough money. The problem is getting assistant coaches. If you wait too long, those good assistants are grabbed up. And that's so important, as you guys know, to any new coach, he's got to have good assistants. And if he's a first-timer, he's going to want to hire a lot of his friends. One of the few things Bill O'Brien ever told me that made a lot of sense, after he fired a few guys from his initial staff, he said a new coach's worst staff is going to be his first one, because he's hiring some friends, because they've told each other for years, if I get the job first, I'll hire you.
Right.
If you get the job first, you hire me, and then they do. And if those friends can coach, that's great. But some of them can't. The ones that recognize that are the ones that have a better chance to have success once they have to make some hard decisions of firing their friends.
John McClain is with us on the program. We'll have more with him next, including could a former coach want to return to Nashville and with the Titans? We'll get John's thoughts on that and much more on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston is where you can find his work. He is on the line with us. And John, I know it's been out a couple places, but Paul Kucharski has an article on his website, paulkucharski.com, that he had talked to Mike Munchak back in December, and that Mike would consider getting back into coaching. He was interested in potentially joining Mike Vrabel's staff, liked Mike Vrabel. He's still in the Denver area, but Munch has no ill will towards Amy Adams Strunk and the organization and would be open to the right situation. What do you think about that? Could you see Mike Munchak getting back into coaching, whether it's with the Titans or elsewhere?
Yeah, he's definitely getting back into coaching. And he's had some replacements done during his time off. He spent time with his family, but Mike's coming back. He's the best offensive line coach in the NFL. He'd have multiple offers. I thought he was going to come back last year, and I told Nick Caserio, the Texans general manager, DeMeco Ryans, when they were putting together a staff, you ought to keep an eye on Mike Munchak. And they ended up hiring Chris Strasser from Indianapolis. I don't know if they talked to Mike, but I know he decided not to come back next year, but he's feeling great, doing great. And so he will definitely coach somewhere, and people will be interested in him. Another coach that'd like to come back there, of course, is Jim Schwartz. Jim wants to be head coach. He's had a great season in Cleveland. I think Jim's 59. He's been there twice. He loves that area. And but I don't think that's the direction that Rand Carthon's going, because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you go defense to offense. He's not familiar with Jim like so many other people are there. But I don't know if Schwartz will get a job or not. But he was red hot until he ran into the Texans in the wild card game.
Joe? Oh, okay. I thought you had another follow-up there. All right, John, with this weekend, what's happening, the divisional rounds, everything. I know you're there with Houston and take on Baltimore. Chances that Houston can go up to knock off Baltimore in this game, what do they have to do to kind of upset what's going on right now?
Ravens are 9.5-point favorites. They beat the Texans 25-9 in the first game of the season at M&T Bank Stadium, and I think the only way the Texans could pull an upset, and I have to admit I picked the Browns to win by 4, and I picked the Ravens to win by 7. But I think the only thing that could happen is with the long layoff of so many starters, including Lamar Jackson, we've seen other examples of with the long layoff, not playing in the last game, then having the bye week, then have a week to prepare. They're not as in sync. So maybe if Lamar Jackson had an interception or a fumble like he did in the first game, and the Texans could score early, get a little momentum, try to take out the crowd, that would they would have a chance. The Texans have been real good on special teams, but nobody's going to win a field goal battle with Justin Tucker, and I can't imagine it would come down to that. The Ravens are just so good in so many things. They lead the NFL in plus-minus differential. They lead the NFL in takeaways. Texans have the fewest turnovers. They lead the NFL in rushing. Texans are sixth in run defense. And the thing about Lamar Jackson, he's under a lot of pressure, and he knows it. One playoff win. He's 1-3 in the playoffs. He's 0-2 in the divisional round. And it's amazing, in that game they lost to the Titans after the 2019 season, he had over 500 yards, and the Titans still beat him, what was it, 28-12, something like that. And but he, if he starts off, say, poorly, that maybe, just maybe, he might feel the pressure, because he's going to win his second MVP award next month. But you can't be eliminated again with home field advantage and have only one playoff victory or half as many MVP awards.
John, how C.J. Stroud around Houston, I mean, how is he now? Has he got celebrity status?
Oh, yeah, people love C.J. Stroud. The Astros have been very quiet in the offseason. They haven't spent any money to bring in players, so they've just, like, gone underground. Now they report next month that people will be fired up because they've reached the American League Championship Series 7 seasons in a row and 4 World Series, but it's kind of feeling like a football town again because people are so fired up about Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. And one reason is, Stroud has played 10 games against teams that finished with winning records. He was 7-3. He averaged 305 yards passing. He had 21 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and that's against teams with winning records. Now he's got another team with a winning record, but it was the best record in the NFL, a team that went to the Santa Clara and beat the hell out of the 49ers. So I don't think the Texans have a chance. It's interesting. Houston has not had a team in the American League Championship game since the Oilers after the 1979 season, when they pulled the biggest upset in our city's history, 18-point underdogs at San Diego without 3 of their best players, Earl Campbell, Dan Pastorini, and Kenny Burrow, and they beat them, beat Eric Coryell, and went to the championship game for the second year in a row and lost to Pittsburgh for the second year in a row. So if they could win and pull this upset off tomorrow, they would have a chance to make Houston history. I don't see it happening, but I thought they'd lose to the Browns too.
Yeah, keep picking against them, John. It seems to be working for
That's
sure.
That's what the fans have asked me. Please, please keep picking. That's okay. I got no problem doing that.
One more with the overall NFL. And, you know, we always make the jokes of, oh, the NFL probably wants San Francisco and Kansas City in the Super Bowl or, you know, something like that. But how big would it be just for football for the Detroit Lions to continue this run and at least make it to the NFC Championship game?
It'd be incredible. And I picked Baltimore before the season, so if they win, I can brag a little bit. But I don't see them beating the 49ers twice. But if Detroit gets in the Super Bowl, for their long-suffering fans, one playoff victory since the 50s. You know, the Titans may think, oh, God, we're suffering. And the Texans fans, oh, man, we're suffering. We haven't been in the play. Well, you know what? Suffering is Detroit. And second suffering is Cleveland. 64 was their last title before there was a Super Bowl. So I think people like Dan Campbell. He's a big galoot, and he's doing a great coaching job with 2 really good coordinators. They're fun, balanced team. I think though the price, I'm guessing if they charge $5,000 a ticket on the scalper's market, there's enough people in Detroit to buy a lot of those. It'd be maybe the most expensive Super Bowl ticket in history.
I lied. I have one more. Jerry Jones, you know, he's shocked us before. You never know what he's going to do, but keeping Mike McCarthy, that surprised me. I thought he was going to make a coaching change. How surprised were you?
Well, you'll be surprised by this. He hadn't fired a coach since 2002. People think Jerry Jones has a quick trigger. He lets their contracts expire. Mike McCarthy didn't expire. He's got 1 year left, so he's a lame duck coach. He's going to be reminded that almost every day next season because Jerry won't give him an extension, and if they do well – in the playoffs, he'll get an extension. If not, they'll get another coach. So I was not surprised that Dan Quinn, he's a great defensive coordinator in regular season, and they just wilt in the playoffs, beginning with Dak Prescott. But they're going to be fun to watch during the regular season. They could go 17-0, and nobody's going to trust them in the playoffs. So I was not surprised. And it's funny, losing that game may cost Dan Quinn a coaching job, and that would be good for the Cowboys because they were just flat. You know, teams come out flat every once in a while. You just don't see it in the playoffs, and we know Green Bay was certainly not flat.
Well, interesting for sure, that to say the least. John, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend, and good luck to your Texans.
Guys, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hope you all have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Absolutely. John McClain, sportsradio610.com in Houston. That's where you can find his work. He joins us every Wednesday, usually at 9:30. So appreciate him. Had to move some things around, and for him joining us today. A lot of good stuff there. We'll react to and much more on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.